decades tuned to yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden age. Mark Levone, you're your host for this hour of science fiction and sci-fi, maybe not so much for adults, but for kids of all ages. And that's back-to-back episodes of Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. On radio, Buck Rogers, serialized, was heard as early as 1932 and wrapped up in 1947, usually on the air 3 days a week. And in this hour, 4 episodes of the show will fit in from May of 1940 with the story revolving around the mechanical mole. And rather than step in between every single broadcast, I'm going to take some liberties and seam them all together for one complete story, although they all do have cliffhangers. It was one of the ways to get kids back to their radios during the week. It's Buck Rogers on Tuned to Yesterday.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century. And the shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box. Buck Rogers, the amazing young fellow who was born right here in our own 20th century, but who was held in a state of suspended animation for 500 years. And now he's living in the highly mechanized and super scientific world of the 25th century. In company with Lieutenant Wilma Deering, a girl soldier, and Dr. Heuer, the greatest scientist who ever lived, his life is one thrilling adventure after another. Why, just recently they flew their rocket-powered spaceship to the far-off planet Jupiter to run down Killer Kane and Ardela, arch criminals of interplanetary space. But now they're back on Earth again. And our story opens in the weird and wonderful laboratory of Dr. Heuer at Niagara, the capital of 25th century America. We find the old scientist alone, working feverishly over a mass of strange diagrams and complicated formulas that cover the top of his desk. Let's join him there. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Heat output times the square of the lens radius times pi equals. I've got it.
Hello, Doctor.
Wilma, look. I've worked out the heat radiation formula for the mechanical mole.
Mechanical mole?
Here. Let me at that subcosmic radio unit.
But what under the sun is...
Excuse me, Wilma. Calling Factory B-18. Factory B-18.
Factory B-18. Rankin.
Rankin, this is Dr. Heuer.
Oh, yes, Doctor.
Set the radial heat controls exactly as I tell you.
Yes, sir.
Number one at 33 degrees, 4 minutes right. Number two at 7 degrees, 17 minutes right. Number three at 9 degrees, 9 minutes left.
Yes, sir.
Do it immediately. We'll take the mole on a test run just as soon as we can get over there.
Yes, sir.
Signing off.
Well, now, Doctor.
Where's Buck Wilma?
Why, oh, he's out making a trial flight in the new super rocket ship you developed just after we got back from Jupiter.
Oh.
But what is a mechanical mole?
Well, then wait. We'll want him in on the test run of the mechanical mole, too. Central Radio Bureau. Dr. Heuer calling Central Radio Bureau.
Mechanical mole, did you say? Mm.
Central Radio Bureau, Stratton speaking.
Oh, Dr. Heuer, Stratton. Do you know where I can reach Captain Buck Rogers?
Oh, he's making a test flight, Doctor, in the new interplanetary rocket.
Yes, I know, but where is he?
Well, last reported about 17 points west of the moon.
Oh.
Flying a course in the general direction of Saturn.
Well, then use a subcosmic power beam to contact him immediately. Ask him to join us at the spaceport just as soon as he can get back to Earth. Hangar number 4.
Oh, the experimental hangar.
That's right. And Radio Sergeant Carlborg out there that we're coming. Tell him to have everything ready for us.
I'll call them both right away, sir.
Thank you. Signing off.
Signing.
Did you come over here in a rocket-powered air roadster, Wilma?
Well, yes, Doctor, I did.
Fine. We'll use it to fly out to the spaceport. Come along.
But I don't understand. All this talk about a mechanical mole and heat radiation formulae...
Wilma, we're about to embark on the most amazing scientific venture we've ever attempted.
Oh, really?
Come along now. I'll tell you about it on the way over. Oh, good. Your rocket roadster is the enclosed model.
Yeah, it keeps my hair from getting blown all over the place.
Yes, but you're wearing a flying helmet.
Well, that's as good an excuse as any.
Here now. Get in.
Want me to take the controls?
If you like. All ready.
Then here we go. Little things certainly make a quick takeoff, don't they?
Well, don't spare the power. The sooner we get over there, the sooner we'll be able to start out in a mechanical mole.
Well, tell me about it. What is it? What's it for? What's it do?
Look, Wilma, for years, we've devoted all our time and effort to exploring the vast reaches of outer space. Mars, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, even far off Pluto.
Yes, and we've had some mighty interesting times on those planets.
Yes, but as a result of the fascination of interplanetary exploration, we have utterly neglected the very world we live on, Earth.
Yes, I guess so. But now, what has that got to do with...
A few elementary facts we do know. Seismographs, instruments that measure shocks and vibration in the Earth, have indicated that it has a central core some 4,000 miles in diameter, composed, in all probability, of the heavier elements like iron, nickel, platinum, and radium.
Only, of course, they're liquefied.
What?
Awfully hot in the center of the Earth, isn't it?
The temperature is probably in thousands of degrees.
Well, then, the elements you mentioned must be liquefied.
No. No. Although that temperature is far higher than that at which any known substances could be ordinarily used and remain solid, the enormous pressure is undoubtedly sufficient to keep it from melting.
Some pressure?
Well, normal atmospheric pressure, that which surrounds us all the time, is a little over 14 pounds to the square inch.
Yes, I know.
But the pressure at the core of the Earth is estimated at about 3 million atmospheres.
Good night. But now, Doctor...
Now, of course, we know that most of the Earth's land surface is covered with a layer of sedimentary rock.
Mm-hmm.
Particles of rock and sand that were spread about by water following the Ice Age, and then settled and stuck together.
Yeah.
Now, geologists agree that a widespread granitic layer extends well under all the continents.
Mm-hmm.
Other common minerals are shales and sandstone and basalt in such forms as dolerite and gabbro and ecrolite and pachylite.
What and what and... Oh, now listen, Doctor. You're just trying to mix me all up and change the subject. I want to know about the mechanical mole.
Well, then watch your navigation and swing us around.
Huh?
Directly below us, there at the spaceport.
Oh. Great day, that thing?
Yes.
Why, it looks like a big, long metal sausage.
It's made of flexo-impervium, the toughest and most flexible metal known to us.
That huge lens at the end of it. And those little fins sticking out all over the side.
A thermic radiation projector. A heat ray.
Oh.
And the fins shield a system of non-recoil energy projectors.
But what is it for? What does it do?
Well, watch the controls. We're heading straight down at it.
I'm sorry. It's such a strange-looking thing. And look at all the people gaping at it from that barrier that's strung around.
Well, land us there in the open space between it and the hangar.
Okay.
You see? There's Sergeant Carlborg waiting for us.
Yes, sir. I'm cutting the power. Now we'll coast down.
We're dropping pretty fast, Wilma.
Then I'll use some reverse power to land us without a bump. Now, let's get out so I can find out what this mechanical mole is all about.
Dr. Hewer, sir.
Hello, Carlborg.
Hello there.
And Lieutenant Wilma. Well, I might have known you'd be coming along on this experimental trip, miss.
Well, now I know that the mechanical mole is capable of making some kind of a trip anyway.
Been having quite a time keeping the crowds back of the fence, Doctor. They all want to have a look at her.
I thought you were going to keep it in the hangar, Carlborg. It's not the sort of machine that should be around where people can get at it or into it.
Oh, my men are keeping them all at a safe distance. You see, Mr. Rankin from the factory brought it out here to make some adjustments on it.
Oh, then he's already been here.
Yes, sir. Left just a minute ago.
Fine, fine. That means we can start out in the mechanical mole without delay.
Well, what about Buck, Doctor?
Oh, of course. It's funny that he isn't here. I told him to come out and make himself at home in the mole whenever he... Carlborg.
Yes, sir?
We were expecting Captain Rogers to meet us here.
I haven't so hide or hair, Captain Rogers, Doctor, since the day you three took off for Jupiter, when you went after Killer Kane.
Well, then I expect there's nothing we can do but wait for him. And while we're waiting, Wilma, I'll take you into the control room of this machine and explain to you how it works.
At last, I'm going to find out what it's all about.
And Carlborg.
Yes, sir?
You better have your men clear a long path for us in the general direction of the city. We don't want the withering heat from the thermic radiation projector to hurt anyone when we start up.
Yes, sir. Do it right away, sir.
The rocket rest to be all right here next to the hangar?
Yes.
And come on, let's get into this big machine.
No, wait a minute. There's the radio call signal inside the hangar office.
Oh, let Carlborg take it.
Now, he's moving the crowd back. Only take a second to answer it, and maybe Buck. Here now.
Calling Buck Rogers. Center Radio Bureau calling Captain Buck Rogers. Calling Captain Buck Rogers.
Hello? Hello?
Urgent message for Captain Rogers from the office of the President of America.
Oh, well, Captain Rogers isn't here, but I am expecting him any minute.
Oh, Dr. Hewer?
Yes?
This is Stratton speaking.
Oh, Stratton.
I'm sure it'll be all right for you to relay this message to the Captain, sir. Besides, you ought to know about it.
What is it?
Well, it reads as follows. Killer Kane and Ardala have escaped.
What?
Yes, sir.
Good night.
Then tell the president we'll drop everything to get on their trail immediately.
No, wait, sir. You'd better hear the rest of this.
Well, all right, go ahead.
Killer Kane and Ardela have escaped from the emergency prison where they were placed to await transfer to the city prison.
Yes.
A clever trick made it possible for them to get a 24-hour start in the rocket plane you used for the Jupiter expedition.
The fastest ship in the universe.
Entire Space Patrol fleet has been unable to pick up that ship's rocket trail. Apparently, there's nothing we can do but wait until the two criminals show up again. Urge, however, that you keep constantly on guard against Kane and Ardela's reappearance. End of message.
All right, Stratton. Thank you.
Doctor, what can we do?
Nothing, Wilma, except what the president suggests. Wait for them to show up again.
I know, Doctor, but do you suppose they really did leave Earth in that ship of ours?
Why, what do you mean?
They might have just sent it flying alone by the automatic controls as a trick.
Possibly. To throw us off that trail.
Crowds all moved back, Doctor, and you can... Say, what's the matter?
Nothing. Come along, Wilma. We'll board the mechanical mole.
Yes, sir.
Right this way. Crowd's mighty anxious to see that big machine get started, Doctor.
Are they?
Yes, sir. Go catch it. Hey, look.
Look,
it's moving.
You're right. And the heat ray of the nose of it is starting to glow.
Doctor, Killer Kane and Ardela.
You're right. And with that heat ray, the lives of all these people out here are in danger.
And Kane and Ardela won't hesitate to use it.
It's moving over toward the crowd of people right now. Come on, we've got to stop it.
Stop it how?
Then what can we do?
Get those people away from here.
Great day. The terrible destruction that could be done with the gigantic heat ray in the nose of that mechanical mole is too appalling to even think about. But now stand by for a few words from your favorite announcer, and then we'll be back with more of this thrilling story.
Now let's get back to the world of the future. Back to the municipal spaceport at Niagara, capital of 25th century America, where a terror-stricken crowd is watching a gigantic machine called the Mechanical Mole move sluggishly across the landing field. In the front of it, a thermic radiation projector, a gigantic heat ray, begins to glow ominously. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Doctor, the mechanical mole is moving over toward the edge of the crowd.
We've got to stop it, Doctor, before it runs over those people.
Stop that? It's impossible.
The heat ray is beginning to glow. It's Kane and Ardela, all right.
They won't stop at nothing, Doctor. Look!
Oh, that slippery heat will burn those people in that track. Somehow, we've got to keep it from reaching them.
No, look. The heat ray is off now.
And the mole has started back towards the middle of the field.
But until Kane and Ardela at the controls, it won't stay away from that crowd for long. If only Buck were here.
Yes, sir. Captain Rogers would find a way to stop that thing.
Wait. Tarbog.
Yes, sir?
Come with me quick. Back to the main rocket ship hangar.
What for, Doctor?
Oh, don't waste time talking. Come along.
Yes, sir.
Wilma.
Yes?
Get to the radio unit in this hangar. Call for the rocket control fleet.
Uh-huh.
Have them assemble at 1,000 feet directly above this field.
Yes, sir. Right away.
Look. The mole is just going around in a circle out there.
Yes, but it may not do it for long. You've got a Y-12 space fighter in this main hangar, haven't you?
Three or four of them. But the RF-13s carry bigger disintegrators.
No, I want the Y-12 for its black ray.
Black ray?
Yes. We'll climb up above it and cover that mechanical mole with utter darkness.
Yes.
Then the men in the space fleet can hold it in position with non-recoil energy projectors.
Then what?
Yes. Now, here's the hangar. Pull the switch to open the big sliding doors so we can get the ship out.
It's right over here, Doctor.
That's it. And here's the Y-12 just waiting for us.
Here, Doctor. I'll open that metal door for you.
I've got it. Get in, quick.
Yes, sir. Only I wonder if Kane and Ardela have started that mechanical mold charging at the people again.
Tarbog, get in here.
Yes, sir.
Now, here we go. And I hope some of the space fleet is on its way over.
Wow! We'll... smashed into the top of the hangar door. Hey, but look.
Yes, I see. The mole is standing still down there.
Yes, sir. The people are starting to move closer to it again.
Oh, we've got to stop that. I'll call Wilma down there at the other hangar.
It's no use, Doctor. She's down there on the field again. Too far away to hear the call.
Well, then perhaps she'll tell your men to keep that car back.
Oh, wait. Here they come, sir.
What?
The rocket fleet.
Oh, good. Rocket fleet attention. Rocket fleet, attention.
Captain Wilson speaking, Dr. Huer. Rocket fleet standing by.
Yes, sir. They're in a big circle right above us. Must be 8 or 10 of them ships.
Good. Wilson, I want you to keep the circle you formed directly above the big machine you see down there on the flying field.
Aye, sir.
I'm going to shoot down a black ray to envelop that machine in darkness. And I want your ships to send down paralysis rays on with full power behind them. I'll give you the order.
Must be Kane and Ardella in the mechanical mold.
Oh, then you know about their escape?
Yes, sir. The rest of the rocket fleet is out in space trying to pick up their trail.
The reason your ships will have to use all available power behind the paralysis rays is because the mole has an elasto-impervium hull.
Will the rays penetrate that at all?
Only a tremendous concentration of them. Even then, they may take some time to penetrate. That's why I'll cover the mole with a black ray to discourage its moving around.
We're all ready, Dr. Huer. My pilot's been in contact with the other ships on a separate wavelength.
Good. Here goes the black ray. Turn it on, Carbo.
Right, sir.
Careful.
Huh?
Careful, there's Wilma down there. It might blind her. Stumble into the path of the mechanical mole.
No. Look. Now she's running over toward the hangar.
I have to wait for the mole.
It's not moving out of the black ray, but she's certainly in a hurry.
Never mind that now. Wilson. Hello, Wilson.
Standing by for orders, Doctor.
Have you got full power behind the paralysis rays?
Yes, sir.
Then have the men in your ship turn them on.
Right, sir. Order for all ships.
It may take a few minutes, Carbog, but the high concentration of those rays is bound to get through that hull down there enough to be effective.
I should think so, coming from the wall and patrol ships.
Now, cut off the black ray a moment so we can see them all again, and let the fleet men check on their aim with the paralysis rays.
Now. Hey, look.
Yes, I see. Kane and Ardella found out how to make the mechanical mold drill its way down into the earth.
By using the heat ray on the front of it.
Yes. They'll get out of range of the fleet's paralysis rays.
Underground.
Exactly. There's only one thing to do. Captain Wilson. Calling Captain Wilson.
I see, Doctor. It's going into the ground. Our paralysis rays won't be able
to
affect it.
Have your ship drop down to 100 feet in their present circle formation.
Yes?
Instead of paralysis rays, they'll use force rays, non-recoil energy projectors. That will keep the mole from moving any further.
Even down there under the ground?
Even under the ground. Do it now.
Right, sir.
And what about us, Doctor?
We'll smother it with our heat ray.
It'll make them in there.
No. The hull of the mole is too well insulated against heat. But it'll melt the ground around it.
I see. Then you let the ground re-harden around it.
Exactly. That's right. They'll be locked tightly in a huge area of solidified rock. Here goes the heat ray. It'll harden. We've trapped them, Carbog.
The patrol fleet is holding them right there to the force rays.
They won't need to for long. See all that steam?
Yes.
An underground stream that'll cool the ground and harden it quickly.
Then they're trapped, all right. But how are we ever going to get Kane and Ardella out of there?
We'll think of that later. The main thing now is that we have them.
Dr. Huer, calling Dr. Huer.
Oh, that's why she was running to the hangar to call you.
Calling Dr. Huer.
Yes, Wilma.
The mole, the mechanical mole.
Completely trapped, Wilma, in solid rock.
But Buck is in it, Doctor. Helpless. He'll suffocate.
Buck? In the mechanical mole?
Yes, sir. He got there before we did. Climbed into the mole with Captain Rankin, while Carbog was taking a radio call in the hangar.
No wonder I didn't see him.
Then we thought it was Kane and Ardella.
He's trying desperately to contact you by radio because he heard your orders to the space fleet.
Well, then why didn't I hear him?
The receiver on this ship is tuned to the general utility channel.
Oh, and the mole's on ultra-short wave.
You've got to help him now. Quick, he's suffocating.
Suffocating?
Talk to him, Doctor. And do something to get him out of there.
All right.
Now, here. I'll adjust this receiver and pick up the mole now.
Thank you. Buck. Hello, Buck.
Hi, Doctor. Get me out of here, will you?
Yes.
When that black ray hit down this way, I banged in the control board. Wrecked the air conditioning controls and all the light controls, too. Now, there's not much air left in this small control cabin, so if you can...
Buck, turn on the thermic radiation projector in the nose of the mole. That'll let you melt your way back to the surface.
I don't dare try it.
Why?
I can't see a thing in this darkness, and I might wreck the whole works and me with it.
Well, then listen, Buck. Buck.
Yes, sir?
The inertron control. The inertron lifting unit.
I don't know where it is.
The lever is under the left side of your control seat. Lift it upward.
It's right.
Doctor, what good will that do? Can't you hear him? He can't last much longer.
Now, Buck.
Doctor.
Buck Rogers!
No air, Doctor. It's got him.
Dr. Huey, he'll die down there.
Oh, wait, Wilma, wait.
What are you going to do?
I don't know
You've
yet.
You've got to get him out of there.
Wait. Wilson. Captain Wilson.
Yes, sir. I've heard it all.
We've got to melt that ground again.
Right.
Then bring up that ground. Ship. You push the mole out, and I'll force them. Carbog, take the ship control.
Yes, sir.
Doctor Hewitt, can't you do
right
something?
Right away, Wilma.
It may be too late. Don't you understand? Buck is suffocating down
full
there.
Full power, Carbog. Straight down there. I'll work the force ray.
Aye, sir. Full power.
That's it. Now the force ray. See, the ground's covered yet. We're pushing them all back up to the surface.
I'll bring us right down to China.
Yes, the plan is fast.
Now. Here we go. We're landed, sir.
Now, quick. That crowbar there on the wall.
Crowbar?
Oh, all right. I have it. Now, here. This metal door.
Yes, sir. We pushed them all right back on top of solid ground again. We're hot around here, too.
Oh, never mind that. Help me pry open the door of the mechanical mold.
Yes, sir.
He opens the outside. Can you save him?
Help us. Quick.
You bet I will.
Now, pull.
He's open.
Buck, are you all right?
Buck.
Buck.
Hi, folks.
Get some water. Get a healing ray.
Carbog, there's a healing ray in the hangar number 3.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Oh, Buck. We never thought we'd get you out of there alive.
I'm all right.
Oh, thank you.
Just needed some air. A little fresh air.
Oh, Buck, I was afraid that...
Well, Doctor?
Yes, Buck.
She worked. When do we start for the center of the Earth?
Say, a trip to the center of the Earth in that mechanical mole ought to provide thrills galore. Be sure to listen to the next episode.
Buck! Rogers in the 25th century.
Oh, what's holding us up, Dr. Huer? I thought we were going to get started on our trip underground just as soon as we got out here.
Sergeant Carlborg is bringing some weapons and scientific equipment over from the main rocket ship hangar.
Weapons?
Yes, Doctor. What possible use for weapons can we have deep under the earth?
Well, you never can tell. We've got to be prepared for everything. Carlborg is also bringing instruments that will enable us to analyze whatever sort of ground we run into down there. Also a gas analyzer.
What's that for?
I shouldn't be at all surprised if we'd run into some great open spaces miles below. Gas or air pockets.
And gas pockets, anyway. Sources for the natural gas we use here on the surface.
Exactly.
I see. But now explain this machine to me, will you? All I can tell from seeing it here is that it looks like a huge metal sausage.
Well, it's made of flexo-impervium, Wilma. The toughest flexible metal known.
But how does it work? How does it dig its way into the ground?
It melts its way down, Wilma, with the help of a thermic radiation projector. The heat from it will liquefy anything in its power. Rocks, stones, gravel, almost instantaneously.
Some heat.
Yes. The banks of non-recoil energy projectors that are spaced all around the outside of the hull will push the mold forward through the melted ground.
Will we be able to see anything through the big metalloglass windows there in front?
Oh, yes, indeed.
And are they really thick enough?
Well, there won't be much strain on them, Wilma, because the force rays will keep pushing the melted dirt away from them all the time.
Oh. Well, now how about getting into the control cabin so I can see how to operate it?
All right. Notice that this metal door arrangement is rather complicated in order to permit entrance through 3 separate hulls. Here now. There.
Why 3 hulls, Doctor?
For protection against the extreme temperatures we may encounter.
Right. Doctor, didn't you say that the temperature will increase about 1 degree for every 53 feet we go down?
Yes, that's the generally accepted figure.
Uh-huh.
One of the many things we'll be able to check on.
There isn't much room in this control cabin. Seems to me that in a machine 50 or 60 feet long...
Power units for the non-recoil energy projectors and thermic radiation projector.
Huh?
Complete air conditioning and pressure equalizing system. Storage cabinets for all the scientific equipment. They all take a lot of room, Wilma.
Oh, sure. But now, why these straps on the control seats?
To enable us to stay in them regardless of the angle at which we're ascending or descending.
And pressure suits. What do we ever use these for?
Exploring any open spaces there may be down below.
Note the instrument panel here, Wilma.
Uh-huh.
Pressure gauge, depth gauge, temperature,
side step. Captain Rogers.
Yes?
Got the other equipment, Carlborg?
Yes, sir. Right here, sir.
Good.
Listen,
Listen.
What's the matter?
A spy. My men just caught a spy over there by the main hangar.
Hmm? What's this?
He has a telemagnetic recorder.
You mean one of those cameras for recording pictures on a sensitized wire?
Yes, sir.
Well, who is he? What's he look like?
Well, he looks just like a perfectly respectable Martian tourist, Captain.
A Martian?
But he wouldn't say why he was so anxious to take pictures, so I had the boys hold on to him.
Why, that old rascal, Black Barney.
Barney? What's he got to do with it?
Oh, didn't you tell her about that, Buck?
No, I guess it slipped my mind.
Well, then tell me now.
Well, Dr. Huer first got to thinking about this mechanical mole up on Jupiter, where Barney helped us capture Kane and Ardela.
Yeah?
And he told Barney about his plans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know Black Barney.
Sure. He decided he'd have to build one, too.
Right. Told Dr. Huer that the minute he got back to Mars, he'd begin construction of it. Provided Dr. Huer would tell him how to get started with it.
No, I just joshed him a little, Wilma. I told him that if he wanted to know how I was going to build the mole, he'd have to find out for himself. And I'd do everything possible to keep him from finding out.
Well, then he sent the man with the camera.
Sure, and he isn't the first spy who's been around.
Well, I wonder if Barney's making any progress with his mechanical mole.
Oh, apparently, yes. Our president attended a meeting of the Council on Interplanetary Affairs there on Mars not long ago, and Barney said he was not only building the biggest and most powerful mole in the universe, but that he'd have it in operation before we'd finish with this.
Good old Barney. Leave it to him.
Yes.
Well, then, I guess this spy ain't as serious as I thought.
Look, I'll tell you what you do, Cowboy.
Yes, Captain?
Do you still have that little dog of yours, the one you call Tagalong?
I sure do, Captain. Why, he's the finest mixed-breed thoroughbred.
Well, where is this Martian's camera?
Why, right in my office at the main rocket ship hangar.
Well, then, you get hold of your dog and expose the whole reel of sensitized wire in the camera on Tagalong digging holes in the ground.
You mean it, sir?
Yep. Then send the man and his camera back to Mars.
Okay, Captain, whatever you say.
If Barney wants pictures of a mechanical mole, we'll see that he gets them.
That's terrific.
Well, now, let's close this metal door. These metal doors, and get underway.
All right. Sergeant, we'll be in touch with you by radio from time to time. And please radio the president's office that we've started.
Yes, sir, Doctor. And be careful way down there, will you, please?
Careful?
Yes, sir. You folks are starting out on this contraption just as calm as if you were flying a rocket ship out into space.
Well,
but I'd be sort of scared.
Oh, what's there to be scared about, Carlborg?
I don't know, but be careful anyways, will you, please?
Yes, yes, we will. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Carlborg.
Bye, Carlborg. Now, travel on the surface, of course, we just use the power of the non-recoil energy projectors, like this.
Say, we're moving right along.
Yes, sir. There's plenty of power in this thing.
Well, we'll need it when we start going down into the ground. Suppose I turn on the thermic radiation projector and head us down at about a 20-degree angle.
Okay by me.
Me too.
Well, then here we go.
Boy, that heat ray really does a job.
I should say so.
Turns the ground into a boiling liquid.
I'll bet the heat from it can be felt for hundreds of feet around.
What?
I bet the heat from it can be felt for hundreds of feet around.
What did you say?
I said it's hot out there. Oh.
Lady, you certainly have a powerful pair. Hey, wait, Doctor.
I just cut off the power box. And do you see this gauge? We're down over 100 feet.
But what's that noise?
Sounds like steam blowing off. Something wrong in the power compartment?
No, Wilma. We've run into a stratum of water sand, that's all.
Oh.
The heat rays turned the water into steam.
Hmm. No telling what we may run into down here, is there?
No.
It's really kind of risky, isn't it?
Rather go back and let Dr. Huer and me finish the trip?
Not on your life.
Well, here we go again. Now, somewhere down here, according to soundings taken on the surface...
Yeah?
There's a deep... Look through the metalloglass window.
Yes, Doctor?
The color of the melted stuff out there indicates we're right in the middle of it now.
In the middle of what, sir?
A deep layer of solid granite.
We're going through solid granite?
That's right, Wilma. And with no effort at all.
No, sir, Doctor.
What?
According to this gauge here, we're stopped.
Stopped?
Yes, sir. We haven't moved for the last 10 or 15 seconds.
Now, wait a minute.
Don't you see, Doctor?
Oh, you're right, Buck. We didn't move an inch.
Then back us out, Doctor. Back us up to the surface again.
I can't, Wilma. This machine can't move backwards.
What?
But I don't understand why a little granite should hold us this way.
When we turned off the heat ray, Doctor, it solidified around our hull.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Well, can we get free again?
Give that heat ray all she'll take, Doctor.
Yes.
More heat. We haven't begun to move yet.
There now. It's on full.
Direct the heat
back alongside our hull.
Yes, Buck. There now.
We're still not moving.
There we are. Now we're moving again.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
You see, it was necessary to melt down all the granite that had solidified around our hull.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen again. I don't mind telling you I was worried for a minute then.
Well, we're moving along now, all right. Really making time.
Yes. I doubt, Wilma, if we'll run into any strait as hard as that again.
Oh, I hope not. How far down are we now?
Must be several hundred feet, Wilma.
Yes, sir, because we're certainly traveling. Ground down here must be sort of loosely put together.
Perhaps we're in an air pocket of some sort. The depth gauge...
Say, look.
Yes?
The heat ray usually shows red out there. Now there are a lot of little bluish puffs of flame.
The Buck's right. They shoot out like long blue ribbons. Air pocket, did you say?
Oh, sir, we're running into a gas pocket.
Gas?
Why, yes.
But what if it all catches fire?
Yes, sir, if there's oxygen present down here...
The heat ray will be like a match inside a big gas tank.
You're right.
Look, blue flames all around us.
Gas pocket's going to explode.
Good heavens.
Look!
Here it comes!
Say, that sounds pretty bad. The heat from the thermic radiation projectors made that gas pocket they ran into explode. They're deep, deep underground, beyond the reach of help.
Sergeant Carlberg calling Central Radio Bureau.
Central Radio Bureau, Stratton speaking.
Now listen, Stratton, I've got to get an important message through to the office of the President.
Yes?
Captain Rogers and Lieutenant Wilma and Dr. Heuer have just took off on their expedition under the ground in the mechanical mole. Ain't that something?
Yes, it certainly is. Did it sort of sudden, didn't they?
Well, they didn't want a lot of people around who might have gotten burned by the big heat ray in the nose of that machine.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll get that message.
And you know, they took off in that big machine just as calm and collected as if it was nothing at all.
Well, that's the way those folks are. I better get that message.
Oh!
Hey, what was that?
I don't know. It knocked me right off my chair under the floor. Some incoming rocket ship must have banged into the side of this hangar.
There it goes again.
I'll go out and see who it is. I'll call you back and tell you...
No, wait a minute.
But maybe a ship was cracked up out there.
But if that's all it was, why should I feel it over here? I'm miles away from that spaceport of yours.
You mean you felt it too?
Well, like an earthquake. This whole building shook.
No. Listen. Stratton. Stratton.
Yeah?
Stratton.
What's the matter?
Municipal spaceport calling municipal spaceport. Carlberg!
Municipal spaceport. Yeah, Carlberg.
Central Scientific Bureau speaking. Our seismographs have just registered a tremendous subterranean explosion.
I knew it.
Approximately 2 miles under the surface of your main landing field.
Captain,
hello?
Captain Rogers.
Hello?
Calling Captain
Scientific
Rogers
Bureau?
In Mechanical Mole.
Hello, Carlberg.
Calling Captain Rogers.
Carlberg.
Dr. Heuer.
Hello, Scientific Bureau.
Listen,
hello?
Rogers.
This is Stratton, the Central Radio Bureau.
Me,
yes? Dr. Heuer's mechanical mole is down there. What? Oh, the mechanical mole. Something must have happened to it.
Good heavens. Is there any way of contacting it down there? Is it radio equipped?
Well, Carlberg's trying to get them now. Can you hear him?
Carlberg. Sergeant Carlberg.
Doctor, I can see what's happened. They're down there under the ground, and the mechanical mole is blown up with them inside of it.
Carlberg. Did they take a straight course down into the ground?
I don't know what they did. It's too late to save them now. They're killed. This is horrible. This is horrible. I shouldn't have ever let them go down there. An awful machine. It's a death machine. That's
Stratton,
what it is.
Yes, sir.
It's
There's only one way to reach that mechanical mole or what's left of it. With a long-range disintegrator.
Disintegrator?
Yes, by blasting away a long shaft straight into the ground.
But the sides of a shaft that deep will cave in.
Call out the Rocket Fleet Emergency Squad. Have them circle the area we're going to disintegrate in order to hold back the sides of it with long-range non-recoil energy projectors.
Okay.
I'll take care of notifying the President's office of what's happened from here.
Yes, sir.
Now go to it. No, wait.
Yes?
Order an interplanetary transport ship made ready and equipped with the most powerful degravity ray available.
To pull them all up to the surface when you got a shaft down to it, eh?
That's right. Now, get going.
All right, sir.
Carlberg.
Yeah,
Sergeant
Carlberg speaking.
Have your ground crew erect standard framework number 3X5 directly above the spot where the mechanical mole descended immediately.
Oh, what's the use of that? That's a disintegrator framework.
The only possible chance we have of reaching the people trapped in that machine down there is by disintegrating our way down to them.
It's too late.
What?
It exploded within minutes. It's too late.
Do as I tell you. The sooner we can get that giant disintegrator going, the better our chance of saving them.
Saving them? It's too late. I tell you, they're lost. They're lost down there. It's too late. All right now. Turn that disintegrator off.
Cut disintegrator!
As fast as you disintegrate out that hole, it fills in from the sides.
Carlborg is right, Major. We've got less than half a mile down, and yet the force raised from the rocket fleet up above failed to keep the sides of that hole from falling in.
And that mechanical mole is 2 miles down. The Science Bureau said so.
But we've got to get down to that mole somehow. They may still be alive in it.
We can only wall up the sides of that hole as it goes down.
It'll take too long. Now listen.
Yes, sir?
A corpuscular repeller ray. It exerts a constant repelling force in all directions. By aiming it into the hole as we disintegrate our way down.
Yes. Dr. Ewer has one of them things in his private laboratory.
Good. Maybe the very thing that'll save his life.
Well, I'll order it brought over here to the field right away.
But save his life.
What's that?
Oh, it's too late. It's too late to save him.
Have you tried to contact them again by radio, Carlborg?
Sure, I keep trying all the time, but what good is it? They're goners down there.
Stop blabbering about it's being too late and stand by that radio unit.
The popular repeller ray is on the way over here, Major.
Good. Then order the disintegrator to blast away again. Our only chance to reach that mechanical mole lies in the disintegrator.
Disintegrator, full blast!
Disintegrator, full blast!
To reach that mechanical mole lies in the disintegrator.
Disintegrator, full blast!
What did you say, Buck?
Full blast.
And keep it going, full blast.
Where are we?
Buck, what's happened? I hear strange noises.
Huh?
With the repeller ray in action, we can
Buck.
Fall back to
side. Dr. Hewer.
Gas pocket. Explosion.
But we're still in the mechanical mole.
Wait a minute.
We can't save
What's wrong
it.
Here?
Thank goodness you've come too.
Come too. Look.
Now get that ray into position.
They're all piled up on the control board. They're upside down.
Dr. Hewer, are you all right?
Sure. I'm all. We're still traveling. We're traveling straight downward.
Cut off the power, Buck, if you can.
Right. Right, sir. Great day. Explosion in that gas pocket must have knocked us all out.
But the power stayed on and the mole has kept digging its way down.
That's right over the spot we
apparently
passed
it's
away.
All right then.
That's it.
The explosion didn't
now
wreck this machine.
Now turn on the disintegrator. Right, sir.
Thank goodness for that. But listen. What's that sound?
It's coming through the radio unit.
Sounds like a disintegrator.
Seems to me I heard voices, too. A lot of funny voices buzzing around in my head.
Me too. No wonder after the shock of that explosion.
Well, thank heaven we're all in one piece again.
Cut disintegrator.
Listen.
Cut disintegrator.
Those are real voices. They're what we've been hearing. And they've been coming through the radio unit too.
It's no use.
Listen.
There's nothing we can do to keep the sides of this shaft we're blasting away from caving in.
Shaft they're blasting away?
What measure? They're still down there. In that mechanical mole by the explosion.
And heaven only knows how we'll be able to reach.
Wait a minute. Don't you see? Doctor, the explosion was felt up on the surface. They probably tried to contact us. That's why their radio transmitters aren't up there. So, of course, we hear them.
Oh, of course.
Being out cold, we couldn't answer. So now, in order to rescue us, they're trying to disintegrate a shaft down here.
Oh, sure.
That voice is Major Stanton. We'd better contact him.
By all means, Doctor. Right away.
Yes, sir. Calling Major Stanton. Calling Major Stanton.
Listen, the radio.
That's on the mechanical mole wavelength.
Hey, Major Stanton.
Impossible. Hello?
Hello, Major. This is Buck Rogers.
What?
Hey, hello up there.
Captain Rogers.
I told you they were all right down there.
Captain Rogers, where are you? What happened?
Well, we ran into a gas pocket, Major, and the blame thing sort of blew up on us.
Oh, thank heaven you're all right again. Or are you?
Well, a little shook up, that's all.
It doesn't seem possible, Captain. That explosion fairly rocked the whole city.
Yeah, it kind of banged things around down here, too. You see, when we came to a minute ago, we found the mechanical mole was still plowing its way downward. But we've cut off the power now.
Oh, then it's still in working order.
Yeah?
Word that you're all right has got to all the people up here, Captain. They're cheering and yelling all over the landing field. And many are on their knees offering thanks.
Well, tell them we're all okay and that everything's all right.
I will. But now, is there anything we can do to help you return safely to the surface? How far down are you?
Well, I don't know. You see, most of the instruments here on the control board are smashed. And at the rate we were going, there's no telling how far downward we've traveled since that explosion.
I see. But of course, you're returning to the surface now, so
returning
what...
to the surface?
Yes, of course.
Well, not a bit of it. We're just getting started on this underground exploring expedition.
But good heavens, Captain
Rogers. Isn't that right, Wilma?
Sure.
Dr. Huer?
Absolutely.
Sure, Major. But don't worry, we'll keep in touch with you by radio. And if anything exciting happens, we'll let you know.
Exciting happens. Well, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't miss the next episode for anything.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
And the shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box. Buck Rogers in the 25th century, with its prophecy of all the wonderful things that may occur 500 years from now. Do you ever give any really serious thought to the scientific and mechanical developments of the future? Well, just keep listening to Buck Rogers and you'll have a pretty good idea of many of the things that are within the realm of scientific possibility. Now, our story so far has taken Buck and Wilma and Dr. Huer to the city of Ore, deep, deep under the earth, a city abounding in pure gold and radium. And as we join our friends now, we find them all ready to start back to the surface to report their amazing discovery to the government at Niagara, capital of 25th century America. Now, here we go, 500 years into the future.
Well, folks, how about getting started on the trip home?
Right, Wilma. The sooner we get started, the better. Come on, Dr. Huer. Let's pile into the mechanical mole.
No, wait, Buck. Gareth is bringing samples of gold and radium to take back with us.
Yes, Doctor. I don't know what's detaining him. Incidentally, my friend.
Yes, now, but...
This mechanical mole is a very wonderful machine. Just how does it burrow its way through the ground, Dr. Huer?
Now, but the giant heat ray in the nose melts away the ground, and the force rays along the sides push it ahead.
Very ingenious.
Say, look at the hundreds of people gathered at the other end of this great cavern.
Why, yes.
Evidently working like Trojans over something or other.
Yeah, you're right. Too far away, though, to see what they're doing.
Look, here comes our friend Gareth, apparently alarmed about something.
Well, I hope nothing's wrong.
No, but don't let our friends leave us.
Something is wrong.
Gareth, yeah. What is it?
Buck, Lieutenant Wilma, Dr. Huer.
What's the trouble?
Please, kind people, stay and help us. Norbert, to the supply source.
The supply source?
What
yes,
is it, Gareth?
Yes. A terrible catastrophe has occurred.
What?
Our entire city may be swept away unless you can help us.
What?
The warning came to me while I was obtaining samples of our gold and radium for you to take back with you.
Warning of what, Gareth?
It is something we have feared for a long time. And although we tried to make adequate provisions against the day it might occur, I fear for the safety of my people.
Well, now, wait a minute.
See them there at the end of the cavern. They're struggling against forces the power of which they cannot comprehend.
What?
The life of every one of them is in danger, but still they try to hold it back.
Hold what back, Gareth?
The waters, Doctor.
Water?
Unless the source of our limitless water supply can be stopped up, the entire city of Orr will be flooded.
Oh, why didn't you say so? Here, hop into this mechanical mole. We'll go over and see what it's all about.
But can you help us? Can you keep the angry waters from filling up this great cavern in which we live?
Well, that remains to be seen, Gareth.
Right. Get into the mole now.
No.
Huh?
You'll be protected from the flood in this wonderful machine of yours. I can't be. I mustn't leave my people.
Gareth.
Don't you see, Buck?
Gareth.
Yes?
Now, you're all excited. Calm down and get in here so I can close the metal door.
But don't you see...
Quickly. If we're going to be of help to you, we can't waste time.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's better. Here now.
Sit right here in this control seat.
Thank you.
On the way over, you can tell us what's caused this unexpected trouble.
Here we go.
Oh, I hope we can get there in time to save our city.
Well, now, tell us all you can about it so we'll know what needs to be done when we get there.
Yes, Dr. Huer. You must pardon me for being so upset, but... News of the impending calamity has shaken me beyond words.
Yes, well...
Our water supply comes by seepage through a wall of porous rock there at the end of the cavern.
Yes.
Any excess was always taken care of by simply allowing it to run down into the ant country through the tunnel system you followed to come here.
But now?
Now, however, the outlet tunnel has become stopped up. The water is no longer draining away.
Well, you know why, don't you? When we follow those tunnels, we use the heat ray on this mold. And then the melted ground settled back and solidified and blocked the tunnels after we passed through.
Oh, why did you do that, Buck? Why did you block up the only outlet for the water that can so easily fill up this entire cavern?
Oh, we didn't know it was part of your drainage system, Garrett.
Oh, no, of course you didn't. I'm very sorry. But now look ahead.
Yes?
How ineffectually my poor people are attempting to block up the source of the flood.
Now, Garrett, I'm surprised at you.
Why do you say that, Doctor?
Why, there isn't much water seeping through that rock formation. Well, why all this excitement?
It's so much more than usual.
And the channels that carry the water down the streets and into your reservoirs, they're far from overflowing.
But they will overflow, and we can't afford to let the water collect in this cavern.
Well, what's the matter, Buck?
See how the mist around here is clouding up the outside of our metalloglass window?
Yes, Buck. That in itself illustrates the grave danger we're in.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, unless the water is permitted to run freely away and down into the ground, the heat that permeates our atmosphere turns it into a heavy mist.
Yeah?
Soon the air will become saturated with moisture. It will disable our atomic power plants and render our radium lighting system useless.
Oh, I see.
Worst of all, it will reach our chemical supplies and liberate deadly gases.
Oh.
Helpless and in total darkness, we'll be able to do nothing but wait for the poison to completely fill our city.
But that would take days, Gareth. Weeks, perhaps. Why so excited and scared about it all of a sudden?
It is the one thing against which we have never been able to provide adequate protection.
Oh, I see.
Oh, but please, while we talk, the atmosphere becomes heavier and heavier with the dreadful moisture. The efforts of my people to stop the water seepage becomes more and more fruitless. Don't you see? Even now, some of them falter and drop down where they're standing.
I can't see very well because of the wetness on these metalloglass... Gareth.
Yes, Buck.
Can it be the poison gas you mentioned that is making those people drop in their tracks out there?
Yes, Buck. Please do something to help them.
Yes, we must act immediately.
But what can we do?
Open the door and let me out again. If my people suffer, I must suffer with them.
No. Watch.
What are you going to do, Buck?
Turn on the non-recoil energy projector and aim it straight at the water rocks.
Wait, then.
Yes, sir?
There'll be people in the way. If you turn on the non-recoil energy, you'll crush them against those rocks.
Well, Gareth can warn them to get out of the way.
Yes.
Or better still, I can use just a little of the non-recoil energy and push them out of harm's way.
We'll do both. Gareth, you go out there and tell them to get away from that rock formation.
If they're still able to do so. Do you see? Most of them have fallen...
Phew, I should think they would.
Poison gas is right.
And we thought there was no need to hurry.
I'm going to warn my people.
But the gas will get you too, Gareth.
No matter. If my people fall, I fall.
Oh, Gareth, come back.
Close the door, Doctor, quick.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, Wilma.
No, don't do it, Doctor.
What?
If you don't... gas will get us too.
Oh. But...
It's the only way I can see to aim this non-recoil energy projector. This window's too clouded up.
But, Buck...
Here it goes.
That's it. But are you sure you're aiming it straight at the rock formation?
Yes, sir. It clears its own path through the mist.
Then can't you close the doors again? This gas is terrible.
Yeah, we can now. Now, Wilma.
Yes, Buck?
Get into a pressure suit quickly.
Pressure suit? What for?
I want you to hold back the water seepage with a hand-sized force ray while we take this mechanical mold to the other side of the cavern. We'll blast away an outlet tunnel.
Okay, Buck.
Hurry now.
Okay. Thank goodness the air is getting better in here with the door closed.
It's getting worse for the folks out there. Funny about that gas, though.
Hey, here, Wilma. Let me help you put on the helmet of that pressure suit.
Thanks. Then I'll snap the clamps of it inside and turn on the midget radio equipment so we can talk.
Here it goes now, right over your head. Doc, will you turn on the radio so we can communicate with her?
Sure, Doctor. There you are.
Hear me now, Wilma?
Yes, Doctor. I'm going on out.
Here, Wilma. Don't forget this hand force ray.
Thanks, Buck.
Go ahead now, Wilma.
Right.
And stay there until we get back. That gas.
Okay, Buck.
Gas is awful.
Well, I hope we can clear the atmosphere before it's too late for some of those people out there.
I've got my force ray on out here.
Good, Wilma. I can turn off the one here on the mold.
No, Buck.
Huh?
No, turn it up high and steer us to the other end of this cavern.
Right, sir. We're on our way.
Use all the power you can. We mustn't waste any time.
Yes, sir. Managing to hold back that water all right, Wilma?
Yes, Buck. But it's terrible to see all these people lying around out here.
We're doing all we can to save them.
Well, hurry.
Can you see your way ahead all right, Buck?
Not very well, but well enough to get us to the other end of this huge cavern.
Well, turn on a bit of the thermic radiation projector to clear the metalloglass window.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's it. Now, more power. Every minute we take to get over there lets the gas in this place get thicker.
We're going as fast as we can. Say,
You know something, Doctor?
What, Buck?
That gas has something very funny about it.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I fail utterly to see anything funny about a gas that can do what this has done to the people of Orr. I only hope that whatever it is, it won't be fatal to all of them.
No, it's like something I've smelled before. Something familiar about it. I don't know what it is, but I can't seem to be as worried about it as I should be.
Buck?
Yes, Wilma?
This gas may be poisonous, as Gareth said. But to me, these people out here look just to be quietly asleep.
Well, keep that force ray holding the water back until we blast out some drainage tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll ride back and pick you up.
Okay.
You hear that, Doctor?
Yes.
Complicates matters.
What do you mean?
Well, I've smelled that gas before. Maybe a long, long time ago, but somewhere.
Now, listen, Buck, this is...
I know
no
you think I'm crazy, sir, but there's something about it that just...
Stop us. We're at the end of the cavern.
Yes, sir. Now, about that gas, Doctor.
How can you prattle on that way when the lives of hundreds of people are at stake? Now, here's where we blast out a tunnel.
Right, sir. We can use a disintegrator.
Yes, quickly.
Right, sir.
Hurry, Buck, hurry.
Buck, Doctor.
Yes, Wilma?
I guess I didn't clamp on my helmet right.
What?
The gas is seeping into this precious suit.
Wilma.
I'm going to
Wilma.
Keel over.
Wilma!
Good night. Now Wilma's life is in peril. They can't go back to her until they've cleared a tunnel that may save hundreds. And yet, if they don't go back to her... Well, now stand by and listen to a few words from your favorite announcer before we pick up our story again.
Buck Rogers in the 25th Century on Tuned to Yesterday. I hope you enjoyed those combined four broadcasts from May of 1940. And that wraps up this hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for listening.